Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
When I would sign my name, instead of just underlining it, I would draw a guitar neck under it. Which is really sad because it took me 2 minutes to sign my name. So.
And Chad P.
Do it.
Dude, I have a bad gag reflex, okay?
I guess you can use it.
I throw up every now and then when I'm brushing my teeth.
That's gross.
Class is in.
Hey, Rock School, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's another show idea from Chad.
Thank you.
You have to stop doing this. You're making me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Joe Burns, a professor, communication department right here, Southeastern Louisiana University, broadcasting live from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, the flagship of the Rock School Radio Network. By the way, we are on iTunes now. Make sure you go and look for us. What's the name of the guy sitting next to me?
Yeah, Chad B.
That's right. Chad P is attempting.
That was really bad.
Right. You were attempting to create the talk box.
The talk box.
The Heil talk box, invented by Bob Heil. I've also heard it pronounced Heel talk box. Every time I've seen one, every time I've talked to somebody about it, it's called the Heil talk box or just the talk box. I've also heard some people call it the Vox box.
What about the Sonovox?
What are we talking about? The Sonovox is an early version
okay.
of it. We're going to go through the history of this thing. It is a guitar effect that everybody knows. We're going to send the whole hour up to one effect. We got lots of songs. We have lots of history. We have lots of musical clips from history. So let's get underway. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're wrong. You have heard this thing, and you know where you heard it?
Probably from this guy.
Frampton. From Frampton Comes Alive, back in 1976. Hey, show me the way! When he's talking, and his voice sounds like his guitar, that's it. That's the talk box from Bob Heil, and we do it for an hour on Rock School. Man, did I have that album.
Oh, I love Peter Frampton.
I play that album to death. This is Rock School. We're going to talk about the talk box.
That's right. So
and that whole
please,
thing.
Would you please show me the way
yes.
that the talk box was invented?
The talk box, you would think, since it's Peter Frampton that is generally associated with the talk box, that he got the first one. No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, the talk box was given to Peter Frampton by his girlfriend Penny as a gift from Bob Heil.
That's a nice gift.
Oh, I'm telling you what. But did the first one actually, or was the first one actually created for Peter Frampton? No.
No?
It was created for Joe Walsh. You
oh.
see, Joe Walsh recorded a song called Rocky Mountain Way.
I know that song.
And inside of Rocky Mountain Way, there's a point at which the guitar is going, wah, 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 wah.
But
and it's not a wah pedal. And it's not quite a talk box.
It doesn't sound
yet.
Like a talk box. That's what I was fixing to say.
It is the song that gave Bob Heil the idea to create the talk box. Now, let me go backwards. The military in the 1930s and 40s was trying. The military was trying to create something that wouldn't work like a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It would sit across the neck
okay.
of the people who are inside of airplanes and inside of tanks and inside of other military vehicles.
Okay.
And instead of talking, these people could sort of hum or they could talk their way without literally talking. And this thing would pick up the vibrations.
Hmm.
It didn't work. But musicians picked this thing up, and it was called the Sonovox.
Okay.
I have here for you from 1940 a recording of a forerunner of the TalkBox called the Sonovox. If you'd hit that button, take a listen.
Present a new miracle of electricity, the Sonovox. Harry Babbitt, using special Sonovox units, gives diction to the tones of the instruments as they play. Harry forms the words, but the instruments sing them. Sing it, Saxes!
I know you anywhere, I know that grin. I know you anywhere when you walked in.
Now that's a trumpet.
Watching the starlight.
That's a bass clarinet.
In your eyes.
Now that's the Sonovox. Later on, there was a guy in Nashville whose name was Peter Drake. He had something called the Talking Steel Guitar. And by the way, if you want, go on YouTube and search Sonovox, and you'll see a bunch of these. Go on YouTube and search Pete Drake, P-E-T-E-D-R-A-K-E. He had something called the Talking Steel Guitar. This thing was close to the talk box. What you'll see is Pete Drake sitting at his steel guitar with a tube in his mouth. While he is playing the steel guitar, he is singing out the side of his mouth into this tube, and you'll hear as he's playing sort of voice.
Here's a little uncomfortable.
It is. Here's a little bit of a Pete Drake song with this contraption that he created. Go ahead. And it starts right now. Now, you can hear his voice in there, but it's nowhere near as clean as was being done inside of the Peter Frampton song. Joe Walsh recorded Rocky Mountain Way using a little 8-inch speaker and a funnel device, which was basically the same thing that was being used by Pete Drake.
Okay.
In the studio was Bob Heil, and he looked at this, and he thought, I can do this better. I can do this a little bit better. He took a 250-watt JBL speaker, put a low-pass filter on it, put some plumbing together, and voila, the first talk box was invented. And he gave it to Joe Walsh. But let's take a listen to Rocky Mountain Way, and you can hear yet another predecessor to the talk box. So here you go, Joe Walsh, Rock School.
Did
bow bow wow wow.
Now kind of like a talk box, but not as much as Frampton.
Well, what he was doing, all of the stuff that you heard from Pete Drake didn't have any distortion on it.
Mm.
And when you have distortion, what you're dealing with is a lot of harmonics that can grab onto that growl, growl, that growl that's in there.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to be able to have a lot more punch when you play with it. The thing is, he was using the Pete Drake setup. When he went out on tour, Joe Walsh went out on tour, he had the first serial number one, as Bob Hill calls it, serial number one talk box.
Mm-hmm.
And people went ballistic. You know, what is that? What has he got?
Oh, it's an awesome concept.
Oh, it is.
Cooler to listen to.
Later on, I'm going to tell you how the thing is set up, how you actually set it up on stage. I've never owned one. I've actually sat inside of Guitar Center and played with one. They had it set up one day that I went in there and just, you know, to waste 2 hours and pick guitars off the wall and
right.
play. But the original number one in all, 50 were created in fiberglass. Those were the original 50. Now he's since sold it to the Dunlap Corporation. They make guitar effects. But number one is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now with Peter Frampton and Joe's signature.
Cool.
Joe Walsh's signature on it. So if you want to go see it, there you go.
Very nice.
Sometimes just the effect makes the song. Alice in Chains on their 1991 album Facelift had a song called Man in the Box.
Oh, I know the song very well.
They didn't want it. They didn't like it. They listened to it. They played it. And, it's all right. And you know, they're playing and it's all right.
That's so weird because it's almost a song that they're known for. It's very popular.
Until they put the guitar through,
uh-huh.
the talk box.
At the very beginning of the song.
And once it went through the talk box, they went,
okay.
That's it. That's the song.
Jerry Cottrell.
Man in a Box. Rock School.
Thank you so much for bringing that song.
It's a great tune, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And the talk box made it. They weren't going to record it until they had the talk box.
I never knew that. By
the way, the guitarist, Jerry Cantrell.
Jerry Cantrell.
Plays a form of guitar called a G&L.
Yeah.
Want to impress your friends, a G&L? The G&L stands for George and Leo.
Really?
Leo Fender didn't like what was happening with the Fender Corporation, so he went along with a guy named George, and they started something called George and Leo.
Why not?
And they found out that most people like the Fender guitars so much that Leo basically remade the Fender guitars, called them G&L.
I saw Jerry Cantrell in a concert one time.
Yeah.
And you know how most bands, whenever you see them at the big arenas, they'll have like a backdrop with some type of design.
Yes.
Something to that effect. Jerry Cantrell's backdrop consisted of a hand, and the index finger had a guitar plug, like you would plug into an amp.
Oh, neat.
And then from the middle ring and pinky fingers were guitar strings.
Oh, excellent.
It really looked good.
Neat. Oh, yeah. People who are guitarists love that kind of stuff. When I was very young and was just starting to learn to play guitar, when I would sign my name, instead of just underlining it, I would draw a guitar neck under it, which is really sad because it took me 2 minutes to sign my name. So. By the way, those of you who are wondering why we're not asking you to sponsor the radio show, if you heard us last week, we got a sponsor. Somebody bought the show.
That's right.
Within how long?
About 12 hours.
Yeah, less than 12 hours, we have a buyer for the show. Somebody paid the $90.90 right off the bat, and is it next week?
It is next week.
Next week, you'll hear that person's show. Hello, KSCL Shreveport. Thank you for running Rock School.
Hello, KLSU Tiger Radio. Again, thank you for running Rock School.
More on the talk box in 1 minute on Rock School.
Wonder if Tom Morello ever used a talk box.
I don't know.
With all that other craziness that he does.
Did I bring? I'm assuming he would have.
He
seems very popular, a very popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find songs that didn't just use a talk box here or there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring a song that had a talk box all the way through it.
Or here, nor there, nor anywhere. Right. I will not eat green eggs and ham.
My Sam, I am. I wanted the talk box to be literally predominant within the song.
Uh-huh.
This is Haitian Divorce by Steely Dan. It's from the Royal Scam LP. Most people, when they think of Steely Dan, they think, you know, I'm going to get the Asia LP, because that's the one that's got Deacon Blues on it, and people just, you know, get that one. Royal Scam is a great, great album. Also, when people think of Steely Dan, they think Walter Becker probably played all of the guitar work. Normally, he didn't. This is by a guy named Dean Parks, all of the guitar work. They had a series, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, had a series of session musicians who sort of wandered in and out. And what they would oftentimes have is two or three guys. Okay, we need a solo. Bring in two or three guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blow a solo. Have your best shot at it. And then it would pick the best out of them. Dean Parks was the actual guy that did it. And then it says, altered by Walter Becker. So it's entirely possible Becker put his additions on this.
Okay.
And played around a little bit with it. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Listen to the song and tell me if the melody line doesn't sound a little bit too much like Beat It by Michael Jackson.
You think they stole it?
Maybe it's just me. No, they didn't. He did.
Oh.
It's just my opinion. Haitian Divorce, Steely Dan. Listen to the talk box on the guitar. Rock School.
The whole way through it. And that's, okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you say you have to stick a tube in your mouth, right?
Oh, I'm going to talk about that. I'll just do it right now.
And how can you play an entire song with something stuck in your throat?
And what's interesting about it is you can't just put it, like, right in. when I played it, it not only has to pick up, a lot of people think it picks up wind, mm-hmm. like you go into it and it works. It doesn't. It picks up the vibration of your vocal folds.
Okay.
So you have to take this thing, which is, I mean, it's a pretty thick tube, and you got to put it so far back into your throat that as you go, you know, wow, 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 it's picking up your vocal folds. So it has to go a good piece back. I brought a Van Halen song called Can't Get This Stuff No More. Mm. It's on Best of Volume 1. Here's the fun thing. Van Halen, as in Eddie Van Halen, couldn't get this. You don't have to play it right now, or do you want to come out of it and play it?
No, I'm trying to get to the next song.
But Eddie Van Halen actually gagged on the thing.
Right. How do you keep from doing that? I have a bad gag reflex, okay?
I guess you get used to it.
I throw up every now and then when I'm brushing my teeth.
That's gross.
I'm just saying.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm just saying. You know, I got a toothbrush in my mouth. I would never be able to operate this device.
I took the thing all the way until it was equal with
tickling the back of your...
No, it was with the back of my back teeth, and I bit it with my back teeth, and then... And that's how I did it. Van Halen actually had to have Eddie Van Halen had to have David Lee Roth bite this thing.
What are y'all doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've only used it once. I've only used the talk box once, and that was at a guitar center, and they had it set up for me. But Ed couldn't do it. He couldn't get it far enough back to catch the vibration of the vocal folds, and Dave had to do it. But those who can do it, when you see somebody doing it, you see overt mouth. They're going, wow, and all that kind of stuff. The song we're going to play after we do 7 Days and 70 Seconds is Bon Jovi's In My Life, mm-hmm. or It's My Life. And you hear it go, wow, wow, doom, 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 wow, wow. If you watch the video, you can see Sambora overtly going, wow, wow, and opening his mouth a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose is to get more of that sound out, because it's not the wind, it's the vibration that he wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. A music bed. That's Dick Dale.
Yes, it is.
That's Dick Dale. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 Days, 70 Seconds, something that happened every day this week, Monday, March 9th through the 15th of March, the 15th. Sir, if you would please.
On Monday, March 9th, in 1997, Biggie Smalls, the notorious B.I.G., shot to death in Los Angeles.
Too bad. March 10th, back in 2000, Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders is arrested in New York City after slashing leather goods at a Gap store as part of a protest organized by PETA.
No, that's not the way you protest.
No.
March 11th, 1997, Sir Paul McCartney is officially Sir Paul McCartney as he is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II.
March 12th, back in 1998, Korn serves a cease and desist order and demands to the Michigan assistant principal, the high school, and the school district that suspended a student for wearing a t-shirt with a Korn name on it.
March 13th, in 1984, MTV premieres its weekly Top 20 Video Count. I didn't know
what?
MTV played videos.
They
I thought
do?
It was all real world.
What? March 14th, Saturday back in 1992, Farm Aid 5, hosted by Willie Nelson in Irving, Texas, attracts about 40,000 fans. Paul Simon, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, and others perform. And finally, in 1968, Life magazine describes Jimi Hendrix as the most spectacular guitarist in the world.
Excellent.
Well, they got that one right. Here's that Bon Jovi I promised you. Listen to it. It's the Talk Box on Rock School.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted.
Like Frankie said, I did it my way. Okay, I like the sound of the song, but that's a goofy line. This is Rock School as we talk about the Heil Talk Box, ladies and gentlemen. Every song we're playing deals with it. I pulled this out. You
what
can
is
see
that?
It. That's the basic configuration.
It's like how, blueprints to a house.
It is. It's how to set the thing up. Let me. You were talking about how far you got to stick this tube back in your mouth to make this thing work.
And then you made me feel like an idiot for telling you about the toothbrush thing.
No one told you to say that.
I want to add drama to the show.
Here's the thing. Most effects in terms of a guitar are what are known as inline effects. There's a chord coming out of your guitar.
Yep.
The chord goes into, say, the wah pedal,
mm-hmm.
comes out of the wah pedal, then right into the amplifier.
All right.
So get how there's a chord,
yes.
and you stick the thing in line,
it
boom.
It all connects, yeah.
That's not the way this thing works. What you do is you have it next to the microphone.
Okay.
So there's the microphone. The tube is right next to the microphone.
I see it.
And then the tube is between the speaker cabinet and the amp head. See how it sits between the two of them?
Mm-hmm.
So it works in tandem with the PA system. So it's not really an inline effect. It deals with not only the instrument, but the PA system as well. Dig that? Mm-hmm. See it working there? And it's mm-hmm. the same thing over here with the keyboard. It's an interesting piece. It's hard to make the thing just... You really have to learn how it works. You looking at it? He's trying to figure it out.
Okay. What instrument do you have to play that takes six steps that you have to... You know, this is like putting together a cable box for your television.
You really are a drummer, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a drummer.
Here are the Foo Fighters' Generator off of their 1999 album, Nothing Left to Lose. Why did you slam my papers down?
Because I'm a drummer.
Okay, here you go. Rock School.
I just tell you how much of a fan I am of the Foo Fighters, because I can name you probably 10 to 15 songs by them that got really decent airplay. I mean, they are a phenomenal band.
Well, it's Dave Grohl.
Well, him, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And the thing about it is, it even states that he used that device, the talk box, specifically because of his love of Peter Frampton and Joe Walsh. That's one thing I really like about the guy. He is not afraid to say, I do certain things because of what came before.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. He's got a good, solid knowledge of the history mm-hmm. of the music that came before. I like the Foo Fighters, too. I really do. You can get us, ladies and gentlemen, on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
Right now on iTunes. And what was nice, and maybe it's just because it's mine, but I went in just to see if we had received any more reviews on the iTunes, and I inadvertently spelled Rock School instead of the R-O-C-K. I spelled it R-O-C-J.
Uh-huh.
And it suggested, it said, did you mean Rock School? And I looked at the computer and I went, yes, yes, that's exactly what I meant. By the way, hello to Radio Universidad Salamanca, Spain.
And hello, WESU, Middletown, Connecticut.
Coming back with the crew and the talk box on Rock School.
I'm laughing at
you.
Why? Go talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know the microphones were up. This is a professional radio show, otherwise known as Rock School, ladies and gentlemen, on the Rock School Radio Network. We're going to play one by Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart. The beginning is not a talk box. The beginning is a Floyd Rose tremolo trick. What's a Floyd Rose tremolo? You might have noticed, you know, Van Halen doing this and all those 1980s rock bands. A guitarist is playing. He then or she then takes her hand and grabs sort of a bar that's sticking out down by the bridge of the guitar, and they push it down, and the strings all go down. That's called a tremolo bar. And sometimes you'll hear them say it's a Floyd Rose tremolo. That's a company that makes this little rocker arm thing.
That,
yes,
the thing that they do whenever they want to make the descending airplane effect?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It originally started Fender almost. I believe it was Fender that put them out on production models. I may be wrong about that, but it was done originally to make sort of Hawaiian sounds, a little boom, boom, just mm-hmm. a little bit of tremolo
there.
The beginning part, Kickstart My Heart, supposed to sound like a motorcycle kickstarting. It's a tremolo trick. What he does is every time he hits the note, he boom, boom, boom. Everybody who has a tremolo has done this. It's just that Motley Crue is the first to, you know, put it on like that.
Okay.
Kickstart My Heart. Obviously, some kind of cute thing dealing with motorcycles. Nope, it's about Nikki Sixx overdosing and dying, and then putting paddles on his chest and kapow, and back he comes.
Kickstart My Heart.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh my word.
Here's the crew on Rock School. All
Are they done?
I guess.
Did you hear it right at the end? Gigs darned my heart.
Yep.
How many of you were listening to the song going, he lied to us. There's no talk box in there.
It took a little while.
It isn't until a minute and a half left in the song he actually blows into a solo, and then right to the end, gigs darned my heart. Time for one more tune. And what are you going to say?
Why do you have a dollar figure down there in your bullet points?
Oh, just how much it costs. I just did a little bit of quick research. If you wished to buy one, you can get an original talk box, actually a talk box that's set to Bob Heil's original specifications. They're now made by Dunlop Manufacturing for $299.43. That's what I found it as. I'm sure if you searched around, you'd probably be able to find one, I don't know, on eBay or something like that, or from another reseller for a little bit less. But I found it for $299.43, so $300 and probably some change for shipping. If you'd like to buy Peter Frampton's custom design, he has one called the Framptone, which is a series of products, and one of them is a talk box. Now, he still uses his Bob Heil-designed talk box.
Really?
He actually takes that one still on, the one that's made out of fiberglass.
What do you do if one of those things breaks?
I'm sure it can be fixed.
Is there a talk box fix-it shop?
Or? I guarantee it. Most of these things, most of these little... very, very basic things like a flange or a phase. Once you open them up and once you look at them, they're very simple machines.
And answer me this.
Yeah.
The tube you got to put in your mouth. You wash that thing, right?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, it sounds better when it's... Of course you wash it. Of course you wash it. No.
Excuse me for trying to get some more information.
No,
before
every concert, you take it out and you stick it in a puddle. That's what you do. Yeah. There you go.
I'm done.
Hopefully you know a little bit more about the talk box. Once again, look for us on iTunes. And next week, I'd just like to point out, we did not pick the topic.
You'll be able to tell. We would never pick that topic.
We sold the show. It was for the KSLU Fun Drive, the station where this radio show emanates from. And we are trying to get the young lady who purchased the show, the young lady, that should give you a hint, who purchased the show to actually come on air with us. She said she will make some drops for us, but if we can get her in the studio when we record the show, we will. See you next week. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Pete.
We're going to finish up with Weezer, Beverly Hills. Listen for the talk box. Class is dismissed.